As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
Hey, it's Wendy.
And it's Jess, and you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for delicious and nutritious living.
This episode is sponsored by Megafood, a maker of vitamins and supplements that are easy to digest and are formulated with farm-fresh ingredients. Megafood supplements are made with ingredients like fresh oranges, spicy ginger, and crisp cranberries obtained from farm-fresh partners. I actually have them at home. They're so delicious, and I almost forgot for a quick second that I was chewing a supplement. I'm used to swallowing bulky pills when I do supplement, and this was such a different and tasty experience. Their supplements are also made without any artificial flavors or preservatives. Megafood has the gummy vitamin B12 to help support cellular energy production, vitamin C for daily immune function, and vitamin D3 for bone health and immune health. You can find all of these at your local health food store or online at bettergummies.com. We'll make sure to include a link in the show notes as well so you can learn more. Now on to our episode.
Hi everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast with Wendy and Jess.
Hey y'all.
Today we're talking all about gut health with Dr. Mahmoud Ghanom. Dr. Ghanom has studied fungus for over 40 years and is widely considered the leading expert on medically important fungus. He lectures at many institutions such as the National Institutes of Health on the microbiome and his breakthrough research in the probiotic space. He even created his own line of probiotics called Biome. During his career, Dr. Ghanom has published several books on fungus and over 350 peer-reviewed scientific papers. His work has been cited almost 18,000 times by other scientists as well. Dr. Ghanom has also conducted many preclinical studies behind some of the largest antifungal drugs in the world, and he continues to guide some of the largest global pharmaceutical companies as they develop drugs related to treating fungal disease. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Ghanom.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. So I was reading up, you know, a little bit about you on your bio, and it said that you had an interest in fungi kind of starting in the 1970s when you noticed more people began using antibiotics. So tell us more kind of about your background and how you got into the field of medicine, specifically focusing on gastrointestinal health.
Gladly. So I am a tenured professor at Case Western Reserve University, and as you mentioned, founder of Biome Health, which is a company that focuses on gut health. My journey into the medical field started early in the 70s, where I was enrolled as a graduate student to do a doctorate degree in the United Kingdom, in England, in fact. And in 1974, the first paper that my supervisor gave me, or mentor, as we call it, gave me a paper where it showed that animals that receive antibiotics, what happens to them, suddenly they start to have fungal infection. And that was the same true when women use, antibiotics, what happens, they start to develop thrush, for example. And that's where I started to realize that fungi, even though it's present in our body, it may have not a negative effect on our health. And also, once you disturb one of the organisms, such as bacteria, you will allow the other to grow. So these, both bacteria and fungi, live together, but they are also interact together in good and bad ways. That really what started my lifelong journey to understand how using antibiotics can affect our digestive health. And that's what brought me into the gastrointestinal area and how to try to understand it.
Yeah, it seems like with gut health and the microbiome, it's linked to just about every health condition that we've come across. There's so much interesting research out there about the microbiome. So can you talk a little bit about why the gut is so important to our health?
According to the famous word of Hippocrates, all disease begins in the gut. And nowadays, this statement is becoming more and more important. With his words, the Hippocrates' word, what he wanted to suggest that it is really very important to look at our gut microbiome, because it plays an essential role not only in our gut, but also in other parts of our body. And what's so interesting with the recent advances in technology where we can do sequencing, such as DNA sequencing, and we start to know what microbes live in our gut, we started to realize that any imbalance in this microbiome, both bacteria and fungus, could lead to various digestive issues. However, the effect of the microbiome is really not limited to the gut. It goes beyond the gut. And again, recent discoveries are starting to show that the microbiome will affect, for example, metabolic diseases. You have diabetes, neurological diseases as well are linked to the gut. And one of the important discoveries mentioned recently is that when we have imbalance in the gut, we start to have effect on the function of our liver via what you call microbiome liver access, as if the microorganisms in our gut are connected to the liver, and you disturb the liver, you are going to have problem with the, you disturb the microbiota, you are going to have effect on the liver function. Another discovery, which is also becoming very important, is what we call the gut-brain axis. So as if our brain and the gut microbes are communicating together, and it used to be our brain will affect our health, but now we have it the other way around. Our gut also affects our brain. And for a good example of that, people with anxiety and depression-like behavior, they have shown that this is due to changes in the composition of the gut microbiome. So you can see, taken together, the gut microbiome affect not only our gut health, but also our entire health.
Right. Just a follow-up comment and question to that. So my sister-in-law has really bad anxiety and depression, and she also has celiac disease, and she started taking a probiotic, actually, and said that it completely, like, in addition to helping with her digestive health, she said it completely almost eliminated her anxiety. So does that sound like, so it sounds like there's research to support then that anxiety is linked to gut health?
Oh, definitely. There are now very good research, and more is coming out to relate the anxiety and depression with the gut health. For example, mood and digestive systems, especially disorders like irritable bowel syndrome, are closely linked to the brain-gut connection. So absolutely, if you balance your gut, they are showing that your level of anxiety and mood disorder could go down. So that's what's so powerful about the new studies.
Wow, so interesting. Now, Wendy and I both work in primary care clinics a couple of days a week, and I'm personally noticing that so many of my patients are having GI concerns. And my patients are experiencing everything from IBS to acid reflux to inflammatory bowel disease, and even I'm having a lot of patients with celiac. And so it feels like there's more people experiencing gut-related problems and issues, and a lot of the patients that I work with are younger. And so they're also like people who are typically knowledgeable about like health and wellness and things. So I'm just curious, like, why are so many people experiencing these GI issues in this day and age? Has something changed with our environment, or is it the gut, the food supply? What do you think is really what's driving this?
This is really a very good question. And really the simple answer is that yes, a lot have changed for us as a human beings. You know, our lifestyle, diet, the medical interventions, like the number of drugs we use, both antibiotics as well as over-the-counter, for example, acid reflux tablet, which should help you, assume it will help you in heartburns and this sort of thing. These are being shown to affect the gut microbiota and consequently our health. In fact, there was a recent studies where it looked at the how we evolved as a human being. We used to have different gut microbiome when we didn't have all this fast food and the sugars and processed food. Now we have less diversity, which means we don't have the same number of different good bacteria and good fungus. So when you have imbalance, it will be reflected on obesity, on gastrointestinal disorders, even autoimmune diseases are affected. So the bottom line is that our lifestyle have changed. The way we practice medicine have changed. We use so many drugs for different things. People love to take their, medications. I think it's important to do so if you need it. But there are so many other products which really we should limit because they have been shown to affect the microbiota and consequently end up hurting our gut health in general.
Mm. Online, we come across a lot of misinformation when it comes to gut health. And I'm curious to know, what are some common myths or misconceptions that you've come across when it comes to gut health and the GI tract? Like, one of the ones that has been most recently coming up for me is like these parasite cleanses. I've had a few people come up to me about those, and we all know like the colon cleanse or like getting colonics is like another popular practice for people who want to restore their gut health. So what are some, common practices that you've come across that may or may not be helpful for gut health?
Like, for example, some people who are on antibiotics, and of course, sometimes it lets you start having diarrhea and this sort of thing. What they think is that if you eat yogurt, it's going to be fine, it's going to correct that. But this is not the case because, even though yogurt has some nutritional effect, it does not have really the direct effect on the microbiota, how to balance it, and this sort of thing. Also, people, as you said, they think our body break down food by itself. But in fact, this is not the case. We need the microbes because the microbes, the good one, the beneficial one, what they do is they start to break down, for example, fibers. And by breaking this down fibers, it will allow us to have more digestion, more nutrients can be absorbed, and this sort of thing. So the last one of the last also misconception is that people think having fungus in the gut is always bad, which is not true, because fungus, when it is present in low numbers, it helps in breaking down the food and help our digestion. Also, the good fungus can keep in check bad organisms, including both bacteria and pathogenic organisms that cause disease, can be controlled with the good fungus. So these are some of the misconceptions which people, I think, they think from time to time ask me about.
Yeah, that's so interesting how everything is, all the misinformation, and it's really important to do things that are helpful for your gut. So that brings me to the next question. How does food impact or relate to our gut health? So for example, a lot of my patients, they might do a lot of yogurt, which you just kind of mentioned. Is yogurt helpful? Like, should people really be eating high fiber foods? Foods that have a lot of prebiotics, probiotics, and then what's your take on that?
Yeah, that's really very, very good question again, because diet and nutritional status are among the most important factors that can modify our human health, okay? So there's plenty of data now to show that different foods can support or encourage the growth of different organisms. So having a high carb diet, for example, is detrimental because it encourages the growth of bad fungus such as Candida, while eating vegetable diet, vegetarian diet is very, very helpful because it has high content of fruits. Whole food generally are also very good. They are favorable to the growth of good members of the microbiome. What we need to avoid, obviously, the Western diet, as I mentioned before, especially with high animal fats. So what's so important is diet can affect what organisms in your body. Now, what's so exciting is that with all the new knowledge about what organisms live inside us, we are able to take a person, look inside them by doing a fecal sample or a stool sample, and we see what is up and what is down. And based on the knowledge of what diet will affect them, we'll be able to prescribe a personalized way of adjusting or attaining balance and maintaining this balance. Also, we, in addition to diet, as you alluded to, you will be able to use probiotics, some prebiotics, because they have fibers, for example, and these fibers are very helpful because they are used by the beneficial bacteria to break down the food and help us have better nutrition.
I have a quick follow-up question to that. So I know you mentioned like vegetarian diet, and we're very all about like plant-based diets being better for people and their gut health because of the fiber. In somebody who has IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, do they have the IBS because something is off with their microbiome? And so then if you were to get the microbiome kind of back in balance, would that affect their ability to digest some of those FODMAPs foods that are typically carbohydrate foods and typically a lot of fruits and vegetables? Or is it really just those folks should avoid those foods in general because they're not able to kind of like process the fiber without having, you know, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation?
I think to answer this question, it's really very important to, if you look at somebody with irritable bowel syndrome, studies have shown that there is a shift in their microbiome. So why is this shift? They have associated, for example, with Western diet, the way we eat high fat, all processed food, preservatives, okay? So the way to try to balance it is to follow a diet that is going to support the good organisms. And in this case, as you mentioned, vegetarian diets or having fiber-based diet as well is very, very helpful, because these fiber-based diet, what they will do is they are going to be used by the good or beneficial bacteria and fungus and try to break down the food, and then we'll have more food absorption and more nutrition. At the same time, what you need to do in this irritable bowel syndrome, you need to use a comprehensive probiotic where you give a probiotic that contains not only bacteria, which is the case in the antibiotics available in the market, different from what we have developed. It has both good bacteria and good fungus, and that what it does, it will encourage the growth of beneficial organism, as well as you can keep control of the bad organisms which form a digestive plaque. It's like the plaque in your teeth. So you have a dietary approach as well as a nutritional supplement approach to try to bring it back to balance and keep it there.
This podcast episode is sponsored by Mega Foods Blood Builder Supplement. Recently, I was diagnosed with iron deficiency anemia, and my doctor told me that I had to take supplements to get my iron stores back up. Now, anyone who has been diagnosed with anemia before knows that taking iron supplements can come with some annoying side effects, mainly constipation, diarrhea, and upset stomach. So when I learned about this month's podcast sponsor, who makes a gentle plant-based iron supplement, I was super excited. Made with real foods, Blood Builder is clinically proven to get your iron levels up without the uncomfortable side effects that can bring you down, even on an empty stomach. Just keep in mind that we don't recommend iron supplementation for those who haven't been clinically diagnosed with iron deficiency anemia. Now, are you ready to get started? Visit bloodbuilder.com today.
Aside from food, genetics, What are some other things that could affect gut health? Like, for example, I know when I'm feeling very anxious or nervous, I get terrible bloating and, you know, I get the runs where I have to, like, go to the bathroom. So, yeah, can you get into that? Like, maybe some other things that affect gut health aside from food and genetics?
I think stress is very, very important. We live in a very stressful world. We are all very, very busy. We are trying to keep deadlines. We have issues with our computers, which increase our blood pressure. You know, all of this affects us. So one of the approaches, in addition to diet, in addition to nutritional supplement, it's very important that we follow a stress reduction approach. We need to manage our stress, okay? Because the stress, as I mentioned, it's directly linked to what lives in our gut, the microbiome. So in a way, what I suggest is that people to try to reduce stress, you have to have moderate exercise, okay? Again, this is sometimes difficult to do, but start slowly. If you don't normally exercise much, try to take a short walk and then increase it bit by bit as you go on. Also, I think meditation is a great way. You know, sometimes in the afternoon, after a long day, and I'm an early riser, in the afternoon I feel, oh my goodness, I'm tired a little bit. Taking about 10 minutes just to relax, don't think about anything, it would be really very, very helpful because it clears your mind. I know, again, I try sometimes to do it and, you know, oh my goodness, my mind still wander here and there. But try to bring it back. And even though you try to wander, 10 minutes can help you just have a little bit of relaxation. So doing that is very, very critical. Another thing, I think, I started to do yoga. I know most of the people, really females, ladies take more yoga than men, and I am discovering that we, as men, we should really take this because it's very, very relaxing. And I'll give you a laugh. Like when I walk, go on Sunday to my yoga, I am the only male there. I say, oh my goodness, really more men should take it because it will relax you a lot and it will help you. And again, you know, you spend 1.5 hours trying to do these exercises and we get away from the stressful life we have.
Right, absolutely. I also know, and this is another follow-up question just based on what you said, in terms of the relaxation, because I also have like some gut health issues and like Wendy said, it's definitely worse when I'm more stressed or anxious. And one thing that I found is really helpful is acupuncture. And I don't know if it's just because of the relaxation piece of it where it's like you're there, it's dim lighting, it's an hour long, and you just have a chance to kind of de-stress. But have you seen any or come across any evidence that acupuncture is helpful for GI health?
I mean, as you know, acupuncture, especially in Eastern philosophy and China and Southeast Asia, they really believe in it. And I think, I really did not do any research into that area, but I know some professors, Chinese professors, where when I go to meet with them, they're really great believers in that. So I could, like, if you ask me to just think about it without having done any research in that area, I think two approaches. Definitely there is something to it. They have history of doing it for forever, and it's helping people. But at the same time, I think the fact that you just take 1 hour and you just relax a little bit, I think it also is helpful. So it's two benefit to it.
Absolutely. I could totally agree with that. Now I want to talk about probiotics because I know you have your own line of probiotics, which I want to hear about. But just in general, what are your thoughts on taking probiotic supplements? Is it something, I mean, you kind of mentioned it already, but do you recommend people take them? Is it for everybody, just people with GI health? Are there any guidelines that you tend to follow when, you know, deciding when to recommend a probiotic and which probiotic to recommend?
Yeah, I think, you know, probiotics, as you know, in recent years, especially the last 2 to 3 years, with the advancement in our understanding of the microbiota, more and more evidence start to show that we really need to adjust our gut. And one way to do it is through the use of probiotics. You know, unlike drugs, which you have to have it approved, you have to do huge studies and over a long period, probiotics, we are starting small. But the good news is more and more data is showing that use of probiotics are helpful, you know. And there are studies now that are being encouraged by the National Institute of Health. In fact, the NIH have asked researchers to put applications to study probiotics. So the good news is that we are starting to see positive effects. The studies are small, but now we are likely to get more and more in-depth studies which can solidify the science. So this is just as a background. But to me, I really am a great believer in the probiotics, with the understanding that we need to have a balance in our gut. And we know with the way, as we mentioned, we live, with the antibiotics we use and all the food we eat, we are changing our flora. So having a probiotic that can support the total health, not only bacteria, but also fungus, it's going to be helpful. In fact, there are studies now published that becoming more and more evidence-based, showing that these probiotics will help you. And on a personal level, you know, I don't have any gut health issues, but I started to take the probiotics about 6 months ago, and I noticed that, you know, it's much easier to go to the bathroom and this sort of thing. So I feel it is helping me. So do you need to take probiotic like every day and every, you know, all the time? I think what I would do is, if somebody is on a probiotic, sorry, on an antibiotic, we know antibiotics is going to get rid of some of the good bacteria. So having a probiotic which contains good strains of bacteria as well as on fungus is going to help replenish the beneficial bacteria. So this is definitely an advantage. Also, if somebody has some digestive issues with candida growth, for example, they eat too much sugar, so you adjust your diet as well as start taking probiotics that can keep candida under control, also is very, very helpful, you know. So I would say that you will use probiotic as an adjunct together with other approaches. It's not enough just to say, you know what, I'm going to eat whatever I like, but I'm going to use a probiotic to try to balance the gut. This is not a good way. I think you should have, as we mentioned, a good diet, good comprehensive probiotic, as well as we need to reduce the stress, which we talked about.
I have a follow-up question about probiotics, because I know for Jess and I, we both take probiotics, and, you know, sometimes we'll switch brands or we'll try different strains. And so I'm wondering, is that recommended to kind of switch up the kind of strains that you are taking to diversify the bacteria? Or is it okay if you just take, you know, the same probiotic and like for an ongoing amount of time?
I think about taking a probiotic is that you need to take a probiotic that addresses both bacteria and fungus, okay? And because bacteria, you take some strains, which I know there are a lot of them, like Lactobacillus, Bifidobacterium, can help the good bacteria and also suppress the others. However, you need also the good probiotic strain of fungus, such as Saccharomyces boulardii. That will bring it together. Now, if you are taking a probiotic and you feel that you are improving, you know, you are keeping your symptoms under control, then I don't see any issue with respect to changing that, you know. However, if you feel it is not really giving you what you want, it's nice to talk to your nutritionist or functional medicine person to try to see, in addition to that probiotic, should I change it? Should I have different diet approach as well? So that will be what I propose. It's not, you know, you have to listen to your body And based on this, either you can continue with one, you can shift to another. But my general sort of advice is that you need to use probiotic that can address the total health, as I mentioned, to keep the bad bacteria and fungus down and to nourish the beneficial one.
Great advice. Now, one question that I get from my patients when it comes to when I recommend probiotic is, well, can I just get it naturally from foods? And so what's your take on that? I know you kind of talked about diet, but can people cut out a probiotic and just focus on foods that are good sources of probiotics or foods that are basically prebiotics, the precursors to probiotics?
Yeah. The prebiotic, what it does, it feeds, as I mentioned, the good organisms so that they can grow, which is good, okay? Now, with respect to the can we go into natural food? As you know, there are many products in the market like fermented food, kombucha, and other people with yogurt with the probiotic as well. So there are different approaches. There's, for example, beer, for example, is fermented using Saccharomyces, which is a good yeast or good fungus. So it is possible to have some of that in the from food, but it's not going to be as concentrated or as in high enough number to try to make an effect, because you know, for everything the dose is very important. So to me, it's good to take some of this fermented food, but having enough numbers of good probiotic strains will be much better, at least will be concentrated. So anyway, you can combine it, you can take a probiotic to bring everything back, but then, as you mentioned before, should we take it all the time? Maybe then you can use fermented food, use other approaches where you can get these good bacteria and good fungus. So I would approach it in two ways. Take probiotic when you are trying to bring things back to normal and maintain them, but you can also support it from time to time with fermented food.
For someone who has certain GI symptoms, like let's say they have bloating or gas, or they have chronic constipation or other GI issues, we want to talk about some practical things that they can take away from this episode, about things that they can start doing right now today. So what are some, like maybe three practical things for those listeners out there that want to improve their GI symptoms?
Okay, so we have here three basically points which I'd like people to do, short and sweet. I recommend that we adopt a healthy lifestyle, that is, eat properly and exercise. Of course, as you know, this is easier said than done. So make small changes, but effective changes. If you don't eat fruit, for example, start to eat a little bit and then increase it as you go on. The same idea with respect to leafy greens, fish, small changes, but consistent changes, okay? Number two, as far as you are able, avoid processed food. Fast food, for example, or things that are heavy in preservatives and sugar and salt. And you know, we already know a lot of that too much sugar is not good, salt as well is not good. So, and preservatives, what their effect on the microbiota is also not very helpful. The last one, which we touched upon earlier, is stress reduction. It's very, very important that you follow an approach to try to reduce this stress, okay? Try relaxation along with other distraction techniques which we covered. Moderate exercise. You don't have to kill yourself. Like you go into, I go, for example, in the morning when I wake up, as I mentioned, I'm an early riser. I do half an hour in an elliptical machine while I am listening to the news or whatever. I like some music, and half an hour is plenty of time. And you need to listen to your body, as I mentioned before. Don't try to exert too much, because there are studies show that extreme exercise are not really also helpful. So if you put all these three together, I think hopefully you will have a healthy gut and a more rounded lifestyle.
Love it. Those were really good practical tips for folks. Now, are there any other resources that you typically recommend to people when it comes to getting started with a healthy gut? I know you just mentioned practical tips, but anywhere else people can kind of turn for guidance if they need it?
I think it's a good idea if you have access to a nutritionist or functional medicine will be good. There are a lot of websites, functional medicine website, where it advises about how best to control your gut health and help it. There are other also universities and websites where you can go in and it will give you what are the best ways to guard gut health. I just warn some people, you need to be careful. These sites, if you go and visit, make sure they are, supported by evidence, because these days with the internet you have so many distractions which not based on science. So there are a lot available in the website where you can follow, but try to have a reputable website. Also, as I mentioned, if you have access to a nutritionist, that would be great. We at biomehealth.com is the website. We can offer gut health information, tips, also a personalized gut report. Again, what is the science behind this? And most frequently asked questions. So there is a lot of resources, but I advise that please try to look at resources that are going to help you with some scientific support and not the usual no evidence whatsoever, because that unfortunately does not help us. Even though the website is great, we have access these days, a computer in our hand, we need to be selective to see what is the evidence-based sites to go for them. And as I mentioned, functional medicine, they have very good website where it gives advice about gut health.
Yes, we could not agree more, especially with the piece about making sure that you're getting evidence-based information, because really, you're right, online, anyone with a computer can say anything and make it look really pretty with a nicely designed website. So that's a really good tip. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Dr. Ghanem. I'm sure our listeners learned so much, and we're really appreciative of the important work that you do to understand the microbiome. And where can people find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
I think they can visit biomehealth.com, biohmhealth.com, one word. And there you have a lot of information. You have about our scientific papers, as well as other ways which we can hopefully help the general public to optimize their health and have a great overall wellness. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you greatly for having me in the call, and I enjoyed it tremendously.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll make sure that we include all of your information in the show notes for listeners who want to learn more about Dr. Ghanem. And with that, we're going to wrap things up. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a huge favor and leave us a review on iTunes right now, because the more reviews we get, the higher we're ranked, which means we get to reach more people. Also, make sure that you connect with us online. We're at Food Heaven Show on Twitter and Instagram, and Food Heaven Made Easy on Facebook.
Our podcast is released every Wednesday, and in each episode, we cover tips and tricks for making lifelong, sustainable, healthy living changes to upgrade your diet and health. We also interview leading experts in the field of health and nutrition to pick their brains on how to cultivate a healthy life that you love. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.